This episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hears from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Canva. We're all looking for ways to make an impact at work, but not all of us are skilled in visual design. Canva helps you get your point across, simply and beautifully. It's easy to design Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos. You start with a designer-made template and customize it with your content, plus add graphics, charts, and more from Canva's massive media library. Whatever department you work in, Canva is perfect for any task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Welcome to Brainstuff, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Brainstuff, I'm Lauren Vogelbaum, and this is a classic episode of the podcast. Today's delves into the strange history of why we Americans have standardized tests for our middle schoolers' fitness. Of course, fitness is important to feeling good, but why the tests? Hey, Brainstuff, I'm Lauren Vogelbaum, and believe it or not, I was never particularly the athletic type. I have vivid middle school memories of being administered a standardized fitness test during gym class. I don't recall ever being taught how to do pull-ups or curl-ups, but I sure remember being tested on how many I could do in front of my class. The Presidential Fitness Test was a battery of physical feats designed to assess the health of school-age American children. The test has since been retired and replaced by the less arbitrary and more forgiving physical fitness test known as FitnessGram, but it left a significant mark on scholastic history. It all started in the early 1950s when fitness activists Dr. Hans Krauss and Bonnie Pruden administered exercise tests to thousands of kids throughout the United States, Switzerland, Italy, and Austria. U.S. kids came up shockingly short. 58% of them failed the tests, compared to just 8% of the European kids. Then-President Dwight Eisenhower was not pleased. He took action by forming the President's Council on Youth Fitness in 1956 to seek out strategies for improving American kids' fitness scores. Concern mounted by the time John F. Kennedy took office. In 1960, he penned a Sports Illustrated op-ed about the perceived problem. An excerpt? "In a very real and immediate sense, our growing softness, our increasing lack of physical fitness, is a menace to our security." And so, in 1966, the Presidential Physical Fitness Challenge commenced, a competition of sorts designed to get kids excited about physical fitness as it related to military service. The challenge included activities like a softball throw, a long jump, and that dreaded pull-up, all meant to mimic military tasks like grenade throwing and ladder climbing. To earn the coveted physical fitness awards, kids would have to place in the top 85th percentile based on national standards. The problem with all this testing, which, by the way, was usually done in front of one's peers, was that, according to experts, it didn't resemble the Krauss-Weber tests in any way. Rather than focusing on core and arm strength and improved flexibility, the Presidential Physical Fitness Challenge simply reflected the goals and priorities of the country and people who had formed their fitness philosophy during training in World War II. Years later, in 2012, the test was finally abolished and replaced by a more comprehensive fitness program designed to support individual goals rather than prescribe a standard fitness regimen. The change was the result of decades of negative feedback from both students and teachers. Physical education teacher Joanna Faber told NPR, "The test was totally backward. We knew who was going to be last, and we were embarrassing them. We were pointing out their weakness." So where does that leave us now? And why are teachers still testing kids at all? We spoke with Marisol Vizzali, a San Francisco Bay Area physical education teacher and massage therapist. She said, "The reason for the tests, I believe, is basically to collect data so the state knows fitness levels of different demographics and counties, schools, cities, etc. But we teachers do our best to turn it into goal setting and teaching students about their bodies. We also turn it into awards for students with the most improvements or best scores to create some buy-in and get them motivated to be fit people." While the current program continues to focus on specific areas of fitness, there's a decidedly less militaristic approach to it. For instance, Vizzali says there are different options for each of the five categories that are tested: cardiovascular fitness, muscular endurance, muscular strength, flexibility, and body composition, which is muscle-to-fat ratio. These options acknowledge different types of fitness far better than the original test did, taking into account the different ways kids' bodies work based on age and sex, and acknowledging that fitness is a spectrum. So, how many kids do well on this test? Vizzali said, "The number of kids that pass usually depends on the school. In Burlingame, California, for example, where I teach, most kids pass, I'd say 85%. But that has to do with a lot more than just our awesome physical education teachers." She explains that the kids in her community are really active outside of school, whereas in poorer areas, the number of kids that pass could be much lower for many reasons. Children might not be active outside of school due to lack of local programs, time, or funding. Punishing and humiliating tests certainly aren't the way to get kids in shape, but encouraging physical activity of some kind is important since it's been shown to help kids build cardio fitness, strong bones and muscles, and even reduce symptoms of anxiety and depression. According to the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, only 21.6% of 6 to 19-year-old children and adolescents in the United States get 60 or more minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity at least 5 days per week. But don't be discouraged. Any activity is better than no activity. There are lots of guides online to making fitness fun, even for the less coordinated among us. Today's episode is based on the article, "Could You Pass Your Kid's Middle School Fitness Test?" on HowStuffWorks.com, written by Michelle Konstantinovsky. BrainStuff is a production of iHeartRadio in partnership with HowStuffWorks.com and is produced by Tyler Plang. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say "free this week" in your Xfinity voice remote.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, "Somebody's in the house," and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.